Hallelujah. Glory to God. Safe. Safe in the arms of Jesus. If you just think about the series of songs, and I don't think anybody in here can tell me where you would be today if the Lord had not saved you. If God hadn't rushed down and picked you up out of your sin and saved you, cleansed you, prepared you for glory, you can't tell me where you'd be right now. Well, I can speculate. Some of us would be dead in our grave. Some of us would be addicted and on the street. Some of us would be in the crazy house because we was already crazy. But thanks be to God, because of his great love for us, we are safe. Let's give the Lord a hand for the praise and worship leaders. Amen. They blessed us this morning. Thank God for how they have sung and allowed God to use them, and how God has blessed us through the songs of praise this morning. Open your Bibles with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, beginning with verse 14. And I'm going to read down through the 19th verse, and come and go with me. For this reason, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and height, to know the love of Christ, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled, let me say that again, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Lord, fill me up. Bow your heads with me. Father God, we come in the name of Jesus. We love you. We praise you, God. We give you thanks and we give you glory for what has already transpired here this morning. And Lord, I ask that you would stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my mouth, O Lord, that you may be heard today. I pray that you would bless the worshipers and let us grow through your divine word, that we might be more like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If there are any here, Lord, who are outside of the ark of safety and they need a Savior, we want to recommend Jesus this morning. Lord, bless the word, bless the worshipers. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Lift your Bibles with me and repeat after me. This is my Bible, God's holy word, a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I will hide it in my heart that I may not sin against God. Let's give the Lord some praise, and you may be seated in his presence this morning. Turn to that person sitting next to you, look him in the eye and say, I want the Lord to fill me up. Amen. The book of Ephesians is one of my most favorite books in the New Testament. I mean, I love all of God's word, and some just speak to you on a different level. And I like it because the Apostle Paul writes it to the church at Ephesus, amen, and it empowers the church to be the church. The apostle wrote it, amen, to the church at Ephesus. They received it. They took it seriously. They applied it to their lives. And through God's word, he transformed the church at Ephesians into a powerful, amen, a meaningful church that had a dynamic effect on its community. And having said that, I want to just declare this morning that the church is the community in which the word of God is taken seriously and the mind of Christ is being formed. What we miss out on when we neglect the word of God is what God desires to develop in us as his children. See, it's possible to know a great deal about how an automobile works. You can understand how the drivetrain connects and makes the car move. You can understand how the brakes work and all of the different facets that make up an automobile, and yet never drive it to go anywhere. And then the opposite is also true, because you cannot know anything about it other than how to start it, put gas in it, and drive it, amen, and not know how any of the parts of that car works at all. Amen. And see, the same is true with many people. They can know a lot about the word of God. They can understand the doctrine. They can understand the morality. They can understand the promises, the warnings, and all the things that are in the word of God, and yet not apply any of it to their lives. Oh, y'all, come on now. Amen. Because I know some biblically smart people who live like they don't know Jesus. Amen. They know a lot about the word of God, but they don't live according to the word of God. In the book of Ephesians, Paul begins in Ephesians 1:1 through Ephesians 3:13, and he teaches us about the different aspects of the Christian life. He teaches us the basic truths associated with the Christian life. And then in verse 14 through 19, he begins to pray a prayer of enablement for the body of Christ, for those who make up the body of Jesus Christ. He prays on behalf of the Ephesian believers. And then in verses 19, 20, he closes with a doxology of sort, if you will. Amen. And see, most of Paul's prayers were geared that he might pray for spiritual enablement and spiritual well-being for those who are part of the family of God. And each of us should have a time in our prayer life daily where we are praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ, where we are lifting up them up before the Lord and asking God to move in their lives. Now, there are two prayers in, this is the second prayer in the book of Ephesians, and the first one was that Paul prayed that they might know who they are in Jesus Christ. And then the second prayer is that they will live like they know who they are. Amen. He wanted them to live, amen, in a way that said that God is worthy of all the praise. And it's two things that every pastor should be just devoted to telling his people about, and that is, first of all, who they are in Christ Jesus. See, we all need to know that we are new creations in Christ Jesus. God has made us new, amen. And then the second thing is to encourage them to live like they're new creations. We need to recognize that God is not just a provider, but he is an initiator and he's a motivator. God initiated salvation. You didn't get saved because you wanted to get saved. God is the one who initiated the salvation that you and I enjoy. And then he is the one who motivates by his divine spirit to fulfill and to carry out his word. So it is God and it is him who brings us in to his family. Now see, back in the day, and there are probably some of y'all, I know that some of y'all here can relate to this because you remember it. You lived it. Back in the day, you know, we used to have what they call full service filling stations. I know y'all used to self-serve. You pull up, swipe your card, pump your gas, get on in, and go about your business. But it used to be you could pull into a filling station and an attendant would come out. And he'd say, yes, sir, or yes, ma'am, how can I help you today? And you would say, well, if you have a little money, you say, fill it up. But see, you could fill it up for $5 back then. But if you didn't have $5, you say, give me a couple of dollars worth, would you? And you might mess around and drive out of there with a half a tank of gas. While your gas was running, he would check your oil. He would check your tire pressure. Put your hood down. Wipe it off. Take your money and say, thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Have a good day. Well, I just don't understand why when we talk to God, we just ask him for a couple of dollars worth. When God has the capacity to fill us to overflowing. Amen. You know, when we need an abundance, we just asking for just a little bit. And here, God is desirous of filling us with all the fullness of God. And I don't know about you, but I want God to fill me up. I want him to get me to a point where it's just running over, if you will. But let me unpack the text, and let's just kind of walk through these verses this morning so you can understand fully what the Apostle Paul is saying to the church today. First of all, he's letting us know that we are praying, or that we are to pray to the Father. We are to pray to God the Father. And verse 14 and 15, it says, for this reason I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now, Paul opens this prayer looking back, if you will, at the teaching that he had just provided, amen, related to how we should live the Christian life. He dealt with the unity of believers because our new identity in Christ, we are spiritually alive. We are living because of the power of God. Collectively, we make up the family of God. And then as the church, we become the body of believers. Amen. We become the dwelling place of God. And Paul says, for this reason, I bow my knee. Now, he's not suggesting that every time we pray that we are bowing and down on our knees, but it is an encouragement to approach God in a spirit of humility, to approach him, amen, with a passion that says that he is God and that besides him, there's another, to approach him with submission, to approach him with reverence, amen. Now, Now, what I would say is that when we have opportunity, then we ought to bow down and demonstrate physically, amen, our submission to our God and our Father. Now, the disciples asked Jesus in Matthew 6, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus gave them the model prayer. And as you read through, and it starts with what? Our Father. And Jesus put it in a context where when we talk to God, we recognize that there is a relationship between us and the God of heaven. And many of the New Testament writers, in their salutations, they address God as their Father or the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So remember, when you pray, that God is not the man upstairs. He ain't your buddy. He ain't your road dog. Amen. He is holy, and we should address him in a manner that says, not only is he holy, but I revere you because you are God. Amen. And so many times, you know, and I know it's slang, and it's some people think it's cool, but God is God. And we need to make sure that we address him in that fashion, because the whole family in heaven, those who have died, and those who are on earth, are all named after the name of God. Amen. So therefore, when we call on God, we call on him in a reverent way. And then secondly, when we ask God for anything, at the very top of the list ought to be strength, spiritual strength. 16th verse of chapter 3 says, for that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through the Spirit, his Spirit, in the inner man. How many of us know that we need to be strengthened in our inner man today? Amen. Praise the Lord. If you don't think you need to be strengthened, God bless you today. Because when you look at life, you know that you need God to strengthen you for just living from day to day. See, the prayer is geared for the spiritual welfare of other believers. And he said, according to the riches of his glory. And I just come to declare this morning that you can't count God's riches. The Bible says that all the silver and the gold belongs to him, that the cattle on 1,000 hills are his, that even in his heavenly kingdom, that the streets are paved with gold, that it sits on 12 foundations made of precious stones. So we can't even begin to fathom the riches of God's glory. But he's not just rich in material things. He's rich in grace. He's rich in love. He's rich in mercy. He is rich in everything that we need. And we need to be mindful that God's riches are available to all of us today. Amen. Everything God has is available to us. Strength is something that we all need, and strength is a mark of believers who have submitted to the Word of God and the voice of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is not reserved for some special classification of super saints. Amen. Amen. See, sometimes people believe that God only gives his strength to pastors and missionaries and evangelists and deacons. No, God's power is for everybody who knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You have access to the power of God if you will avail yourself to it. Amen. And you need to understand that that believers are to take God's word seriously. Amen. And then through the study and through the application of the word of God, that we are made strong. Amen. Now, naturally, as we get older, our physical frames begin to get a little weaker. Amen. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you do. Little brother can go out here and run 5 miles in 100-degree weather. But he can't do what he could do 30 years ago when I first met him. Amen. And I can't do what I could do 30 years ago when we first met. And it's because this physical frame is beginning to decay. But that inward person is being renewed day by day through the power of the Holy Spirit. God allows us to be strengthened in the inner man through his word, through the Holy Spirit. Amen. See, in the Holy Spirit, it energizes, it revitalizes, amen. It empowers the obedient, submissive Christian to do the will of God. Somebody calls it anointing, and God gives it to all of us. See, we need to minimize praying for tangibles. Oh, y'all don't want to hear that. We need to pray less for things. Amen. You know, we're always praying for more money, more this, more that. What we should be asking God for is more strength. Let me help you. Matthew 6, 31 to 33. Jesus said, "Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek." And he's using Gentiles in the context of the unsaved. For your heavenly Father, those of us who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, knows that you need all these things. You don't have a need present in your life that God is not already aware of it. As a matter of fact, he knew it before you did and knows it better than you know it. It says, but Christ went on to say, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amen. Now, you want all your needs met. Put God first. Put the kingdom first. And the promise of God is all these things, food, drink, clothing, cars, whatever you need, beyond the kingdom, he is promising that he will provide it for us. Amen. It says they will be added to you. So we need to minimize our prayer for tangibles and increase our prayers for spiritual strength. See, we need to be strengthened in our inner man. Amen. We need our inner man to grow and to be more like Jesus Christ. Amen. So, and some people say, well, Pastor, how do you do that? I'm so glad you asked this morning. Because it happens through prayer and spending time with God. It happens through the study of the Word of God, meditating on his Word, according to Psalm 1, day and night. Amen. And then it comes through hanging out with people who want to grow in Christ's likeness. See, my old friends that are still not saved, I'm always glad to see them. But I don't hang with them because they can't help me grow. I'm a witness to them. I'm going to encourage them. But they're not trying to grow in Christ's likeness. And then another thing that will help you is to be a consistent worshiper. Amen. Be somebody who, when the doors open on Sunday morning, you find yourself coming on in. Be a consistent worshiper, not an occasional worshiper. Amen. And then in that, ask God to give you strength. And see, there's an objective. There's a reason why Paul is praying this prayer. In verse 17 and 19, it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, and depth, and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, most of all, most of the time, when we start a project or a job or on a mission, there's a desired end that we have in mind. Stephen Covey even said that we should begin everything with what? The end in mind. So therefore, Paul has a prescribed objective in his prayer for the church, because he's looking for a specific outcome based on us, first of all, praying to God, and then secondly, asking God for strength. Amen. Now, when we go to the gym, we look to slim down a little bit, get a little bit buff. Amen. Be able to do more than when we first started going to the gym. And we begin with that goal of fitness in mind when we step into the gym. And here he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Every believer has Jesus Christ, the hope of glory, in them at the moment of salvation. Amen. But he only finds a home where he can truly be comfortable, amen, and be satisfied is in the hearts of believers who have been cleansed through the washing of regeneration, amen, and be filled with the power of his Holy Spirit. And that is through faith, as Paul says in the verse that we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then not only that, but then we are rooted and grounded in love. And see, our faith, the faith that we have, rests on a solid foundation. It rests on a strong foundation. It rests on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. And then our roots, they go down deep, amen, into Christ's likeness, and we begin to grow up like trees planted by the rivers of water and bring forth fruit in our season, and that is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is the fruit that God desires that every believer produces in his life. Now, you know, kind of like an oak tree. See, an oak tree, the roots go way down deep. And the wind may blow, the storms may come, but you rarely see an oak tree that has ever toppled over. You may see a limb or branch broken off, but most oak trees, when the storm is over, they are still standing. And God wants our roots to go down deep. He wants us to be rooted and grounded in the love of Jesus Christ, because we're going to go through some storms in this life. Don't think you're going to receive Christ and go to heaven on flowery beds of ease. No, you're going to have to go through some stuff. And your roots need to be deep enough to hold you up when the storms of life come knocking on your door. Because they're going to come. I could just tell you. Living as best I could for Christ. Desirous of doing his will. But in 2002, colon cancer knocked on my door. That was a storm. 2014, flesh-eating bacteria got in my right leg. 2015, my mother passed. 2016, my father-in-law passed. I don't know what the next storm is, but I tell you what, I am rooted. I'm grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to hold on until the Lord come back to get me one day. The storms will pass over. God wants us to comprehend. He wants us to understand the fullness of his love. And he wants us to understand that with all of the saints, he wants us to understand what the length is, what the width is, what the height and what the depth is, the magnitude of his love for us really is. And he wants us to do it that we might know the love of Jesus Christ. And you can just look at the verse. I'm just kind of picking through it. Amen. And that he wants us to know that. Amen. And he places the love of Christ in our hearts. He fills us up with that love. And then Romans 5:5, it tells us that the love of God, the love of Jesus Christ, is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit of God. So, and the Holy Spirit is given to us according to that text. Everybody needs to know how much God loves them. Amen. We need to tell people that God loves you. And I remember Pastor David L. Gray used to be over at Pleasant Green in Kansas City, Kansas, his radio program. And their word was to the community, even on their gas station, the name of the station was Jesus Christ loves you. We need to let people know that God does truly love them. See, when you understand how much God loves you, it gives you hope. It gives you courage. It gives you strength. Amen. It gives you confidence because you know that God's love, according to 1 Corinthians 13, will never fail. Be a lot of other things gonna fail, but the love of God will never fail. And more than that, it surpasses all understanding. Amen. It surpasses knowledge. See, our little limited knowledge can't grasp, can't fully comprehend how great the love of God is for his children. See, his love is as great as his peace in Philippians 4:7. Because it says that peace that what passes all understanding. God's love is beyond our comprehension if you really want to think about it. It's one of those that it transcends human reasoning because God loves us just that much. And I'm gonna say this and I'm gonna come back to it because he loves us so much that he took him who knew no sin and made him sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So think about it now, that it may be beyond, but he also wants us that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. He wants every child of God, every person who calls Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, to be filled with all of the fullness of God. And we experience that fullness through our submission to God. Amen. And in that, we recognize that God's fullness contains just a few of the things I'm going to say, but believe me, it's not limited to that. God's fullness contains power, it contains wisdom, it contains love, it contains mercy, it contains patience, kindness, and everything else that is a part of the nature and character of Almighty God. Amen. So when we ask God to fill us up, he's filling us that we might be equipped for every good work that God has called us to do. Amen. And we can just say to him simply, Lord, fill me up. I want to be filled with your power. I want to be filled with your love. Lord, I want to have that capacity, Lord, to be able to forgive those that say all manner of evil against me falsely. I want to have the capacity, to God, to love those, Lord, who are hard to love. Oh, y'all act like y'all don't know no people like that. I know some folk that's hard to love. But if you're a child of God, you gotta love them anyhow. And I got two people that remind me when the flesh wants to get crazy that the God would have you can't give up on them. You just gotta keep loving them. And see, God will fill us with his spirit. Jesus Christ came down through 42 generations in order to save us and to make us a part of his family. He lived a perfect life and he raised the dead. He caused the lame to walk, the blind to see. He fed the multitudes with just a few little fish and loaves of bread. And when he was old, got done, they picked up 12 baskets of scrap. Now, that same Jesus who did all of these good things late one Friday evening was nailed to an old rugged cross. And he was nailed to that cross that you and I might not only have eternal life, but that we might have life more abundantly even here on earth. Yeah, and then when he died, they buried him in a borrowed tomb, and he laid there all night Friday night, and he laid there all night Saturday night. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power and heaven and earth in his hand. Yeah, he rose and he showed himself down here for 40 days and got on a cloud and went back to glory, sat down at the right hand of majesty where he is making intercession for you and for me. And I'm all right because I know that the Lord loves me and I know that he desires that my life be geared in such a way that he is honored in everything that I do. And because I love the Lord, and because the Lord loves me, I can say, Lord, fill me up. And the Lord will fill me because I'm reminded that the psalmist said in Psalm 23 that the Lord fills my cup and it runs over. Amen. Says that God will give me more than I need, and then I want to be filled like those in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, because it said that the Holy Spirit came like a mighty rushing wind, amen, and they began to speak foreign languages and witness to the multitude on that day. See, I want to be filled so I can talk white. I want to be filled so I can walk right. I want to be filled so I can live right. I want to be filled so I can let my light shine that somebody might give God glory. I want God to fill me up with the fullness of God. Yeah, every believer should desire to have their cup filled to overflowing. Yeah, more than their bank account. See, because whatever you have, you can wake up in the morning and it can be gone. Pastor Tracy E. And you wake up and that dollar that used to be worth a dollar is only worth a penny. But the love of God, the fullness of God will always be available to you. It's yours. All you have to do is just come, ask for it, and then claim it. The fullness of God makes us who we are. It defines us as God fills us. Every day of my life, I want to be a little bit more like Jesus. I want to be a little holier. I want to be a little more righteous. I want to be more loving. I want to be more like the Lord. If you need filling, he'll fill you today. If you need saving, he'll save you. All you have to do is ask him and then trust him. And he will bring it to pass. Stand with me as we extend the privilege of the church.